I brought my wife here today up on the platform because we're in this series Rooted, and I really wanted everybody here to get a good, real picture of what it's like to be rooted. Now, she's the pastor's wife, so you would assume that she's rooted, and she is. There's no deception there. She is rooted. But the perception might be that, well, she's the pastor's wife, she's rooted, she's been around this forever, you know, of course she's rooted and all that. But I really wanted you to hear some of her story to let you know that no matter what kind of life you have, you know, no matter where you come from, that God can take you from where you are to being a, what David said, thriving as an olive tree in the house of the Lord, thriving in God's family. When you leave out of here today and you walk out these doors, if you go to the right as you're leaving over here in this corner, there's an olive tree there, and there's actually some olives on it right now, and it's thriving, and it's a very, 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 very young olive tree. Olive trees can live up to 3,000 years. There's some in Israel right now that you can see in the Garden of Gethsemane that are over 2,000 years old. Just absolutely amazing. And this is what David said. I want to be an olive tree thriving in the house of God. That's what we want. And so so Erica and I are thriving in the house of the Lord. And I came from a certain background. She came from a totally different background. I want you guys to experience and hear some of the things that happened so that you can see the glory of God, really. God's grace. That's the main thing. So, why don't you tell us about what, you know, your life was like early on.
Yeah,
back
sure.
Back in the old days.
Sure.
Which, by the way, her mom is here.
No,
and her brother's here.
Don't, do not say, you shouldn't have said my brother, for sure.
Maybe we should have them come
I'm
up.
About to tell some things. If you talk to my brother afterwards, whatever he says is probably not true. My mom, though, she's always fighting for me, so you can ask her questions. Don't ask my brother. I am one of two kids, and my brother is 4 years younger than me, and when I was, you know, I grew up in just, I don't know, I guess it was an average home. I remember it being fairly average. Those are my best memories whenever I was little. And then, and we would, my mom would take us to church off and on when I was growing up. My dad never attended church with us. But whenever I got to be about 6 years old, my parents started having some struggles and things weren't working out, and my dad would move out for a little bit and back in, and then by the time I was 10 and my brother was 6, my parents divorced. And as you know, if you've lived in a home with divorce and struggles like that, it's hard and brings its own challenges with that. And for the kids, you know, there's all kinds of turmoil and things you're dealing with. And so we're going along. My mom's working a full-time job and doing her best and working hard to raise my brother and I. My dad was never super present. He would see us for scheduled visits, but just not super involved. And so, you know, it was just primarily the three of us hanging out and doing life. And we started getting older, and as kids do, you get to your teenage years. And at that point, like a lot of teenagers, my brain just melted. it's melted. And my mom was working, as many hours as she could and was busy, and my brother and I got creative and probably did a lot of things we shouldn't, and that was kind of like right before I went into high school was when I just really started tanking. I just found ways to, I'm going to go spend the night at so-and-so's house, and I wasn't at so-and-so's house, I was at somebody else's house doing something I shouldn't, and so I just got really started going down this path of I'm going to do whatever I darn well please, and nobody's going to stop me, and I'll find a way around it. And just started going down this path that just was going that way. Mm. It's not going anywhere up. And my teenagers, you know, all of us that are past your teenage years have dealt with something. You know, you had some type of struggle, and I'm sure there's plenty of people in here that have struggles that are way worse than mine, but these are mine. And so it's just not, I'm filled with lots of parties and poor choices as a teenager, and bad grades and failing classes and skipping school and just not good. So
what was the catalyst that really shifted the trajectory of where you were headed to, you know, start going to where you are now?
Well, I think I had driven things so far into the ground that, you know, sometime around my junior year, I started thinking that maybe this isn't the best plan. And so that was maybe the end of my junior year. And the beginning of my senior year, I was starting to think, maybe I should think about getting things together. I'm not actually going to graduate because this is not the path to graduation. So, and then we were having some family struggles in our house. My mom had met somebody and was spending a lot of time with him, and I was feeling more like a parent in our home, and feeling a little overwhelmed by that, just feeling like, one, I've driven my life into the ground in lots of ways, and I'm trying to pick that back up and trying to do better in school, but A's don't come easily to me, so I was doing the best I could, but recovering what I had done the years before was not easy. And then my brother is a great person. He's awesome. But at that time in his life, he was 13 and I was 17, and we had plenty to disagree about. And so he made me a little crazy. And so there was just a lot of chaos going on, and I felt so unsure of what to do and where life was taking me, and it felt very overwhelming to me. And I really felt like, so whenever I was growing up, my mom would, we always went to the same church when we went to church, but it was kind of a roller coaster. So we'd go for a while, and then we wouldn't go. Then we'd go for a while, and then we wouldn't go for a while. Or we'd go at Christmas and then Easter. And so we were definitely one of those families who were like, yeah, we're members at that church. That's our church. But we were just kind of like this. And so, but I knew whenever I was going through that time of trying to find my own place to stand, that, like, that was a refuge for me. I knew I felt something real there and felt safe at church. Like, there wasn't a lot of places I felt that, and at that time. And so going back to church was like, okay, this is what I'll do. I'll start going back to church. So I started going back to church, and
meanwhile,
not yet. He's been cutting me off every service. He jumps in to tell his story. I'm going to tell you all the truth. Y'all are lucky you're here for the third service.
I'll settle in. Wish we had popcorn for y'all to just kind of relax and eat.
Anyway, I started going back to church, and it was kind of slow, you know, hit and miss. And then finally, right before I graduated, I had started taking my brother with me. He would come to church, and he would go to the youth group, and I would have to interact with the youth pastor there and talk to him.
He was such a great guy. He was so friendly, so nice, so anointed, good looking. I mean,
because that was him. That's why
I was the youth pastor.
He's so good looking, so talented.
I was a mess, but she would come talk to me and say, like, hey, my brother is going to come to this event. You know, what time to pick him up and drop him off and all that. And I was like, oh, yeah. And she would be interacting with me and kind of be like, hey.
You're so funny.
So one day I spoke, the first time I ever preached in my home church was like July. It was the first Wednesday in July, ironically, 1996. And she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was sitting with my aunt and I said, he's pretty good looking. And she said, you should go ask him out. I was like, no, no, I'm not going to go ask him out. She said, Erica, what is the worst that can happen? He's going to say no. You can take a no. I was like, you're right. I can take a no. So
she came and asked me out.
I went.
She said, hey, would you like to go out sometime?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, with you?
That is correct. That is a true story.
And the other half of that story is that I had...
No, no, no.
No, this is important.
No, no. Okay.
The other half of the story is that I had dated her cousin. And I thought she was, I literally thought she was trying to set me up like a redo with a cousin. And I was like, with you? Because I wanted to be clear. I wanted to be clear.
Yeah.
And you said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, are you dating anyone?
And he said... Not technically.
I said, not technically.
What in the world? What does that even mean? So. And then he waited 2 days to call me because he had to be macho, I guess, or something.
You can't call immediately. You have to let it marinate. You have to let it just simmer a little bit. And so I called you a couple days later.
You did.
We went out on some dates.
Yep.
Okay, we're getting way off
track. We're getting way off track.
We didn't say any of this during the other two services. Y'all get the special behind the scenes.
So I got involved with the singles group there.
Yeah. And so here's
mm-hmm.
Let's get to scripture. That will help us get back on target. This scripture is, in this part of her story, what we're headed to, is really the gist of today. Because we're in this rooted series, and this is where Erica really began to develop roots, was in this season of her life where it wasn't me at all. It wasn't my, at this point in her life, it was other people. But Hebrews 12 and 15 says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Verse 16 says, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. So I highlighted or bolded, look on the screen, these first four words of each verse. The first four words of verse 15 says, look after each other. That's so important. Look after each other. So the question today would be, who's looking after you and who are you looking after? That's a good question. The next four words of verse 16, the first four words of verse 16 says, make sure that no one. Who are you making sure? You know, who's in your circle? So, you know, you look at those four words, make sure that no one, you might think that that's a very authoritative, like, you better make sure that no one, you know, or I don't believe that's the gist of this scripture at all. I believe what this scripture means, it's sort of like, you know, a military perspective. Maybe you're in the same squad or platoon or whatever you call it. You make sure no one's left behind, that kind of a thing. We're going to make sure we're in this together. No one's going to be by themselves. No one is going to be left behind. We're going to verify that everybody is in this. Everybody is going to make it. That's what this scripture says. Look after each other so that none of you fails. Make sure that no one is immoral or godless. So if you were to be in community, you could be looking after one another and helping them. So in your life, let's go back to your life. As you entered into this season of beginning a church experience, there were several key people that you intersected with. So tell us about those folks.
So, I was trying to get involved in the church, being part of the singles group, which was great, and just going to different things, being at service whenever there was a service, but also just connecting with people. And I made a great friend, Angie, and Angie and I ended up just being a little pair, and we did all kinds of stuff together. And she was just passionate about God, loved God, wanted to be involved in everything, do everything, and she could pray. And she would call me, and she'd be like, Erica, I'm going to come over to your house tomorrow morning, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to be there at 6 a.m., and we're going to pray. And I'm like, you know, okay. So she'd come over, we'd pray together, or I'd go to her house, And Angie was just such a good friend and a strength to me, because she was just on that friend level, and I didn't feel like she was trying to mentor me or anything, but she was leading me in lots of ways. Angie was a theater major and was very outgoing, very talkative, but just great with words, and so she'd pray these elaborate prayers and all just... It was just incredible. It was quite impressive, and I very much wanted to be able to do that, but I was more like, thank you, Jesus, for our food. Amen. And that was it. I was like, I hope one day to have those words. And so I started learning this, like, oh, maybe this is how you can pray. This is a way to have a conversation with God. And so she was a big part of my just everyday life. And then as I was going along and growing in my faith, there were a couple of women at the church that were, one was Joyce Kepney, she's probably in her late 70s now, and she's very much a grandmother figure to me. And she would be in there, her and Charlotte Trevino, and they would be at the church, and there would be early morning prayer. And so at 6 a.m., there was early morning prayer a couple of days a week, and so we'd go over there, and I would sit and listen to them. I'd pray some, and I'd overhear them praying, and just their conversation with God. It was a conversation in this... it wasn't repetitious it sounded authentic, and they were just connecting with God and bringing what they needed before God and honoring God. And it was so powerful to me. I was just like, wow, this is how you have a relationship and interact with God. And it changed me. And so there were times whenever I would talk to Joyce, I said, you know, I feel like I just don't have the words, or I don't know what to pray sometimes. And she was like, oh, it's okay. You know, if you don't know what to pray, it's okay. She's like, you can use this little book. And she gave me this blue book, and it was Prayers That Availeth Much. And it was just different prayers with different topics. And it was really helpful to me, because whenever I didn't feel like I knew words, I could open it up and be like, okay, I'm just going to pray this, and I'm going to believe this. I'm going to stand on these words of truth that are based in Scripture, and I'm just going to believe that and pray that, because I don't always have the right words. And so they were a huge strength to me.
Yeah, well, women, and then like you had that. Kristen Ragsdale, yeah. Another person.
Yeah, Kristen was, she was kind of like an older sister to me, and she... John Ragsdale was on staff at that church at the same time Robin was a youth pastor. And so Robin and John had a real close relationship, and Kristen kind of stepped in, was the older sister, and she would give me her old clothes that she didn't want, because apparently I was still coming out of this world of maybe not dressing like I should if I was going to be dating the youth pastor. So
that's kind of why it took a while for us to date, because I was worried about my job. Security.
So she would give me her clothes, and she would talk to me, and she'd give me advice. And there were times she'd be like, why are you waiting around for him, Erica? I think you should just move on. And I will say that I tried to pray him out of my life. I got so tired after a year and a half. I was like, God, please take him out of my life. Don't let me like him anymore. It didn't work. You're still here.
God's will.
Which I'm very thankful about.
Was it worth it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So, yeah, so I had them.
I think it's so neat that you had Joyce and Charlotte Trevino, and they were like these motherly figures that helped you, mentor you in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And then you had Kristen in your life that helped you in like this big sister sort of way that gave you a picture of what it would look like. This is what it looks like to be a mom. This is what it looks like to be a wife.
Right.
Just God just put those people in your life. And then you had Angie that was this sideline for you, a best friend figure for you to help you just everyday stuff as well. And so I think that picture, that community is really what helped you grow roots in that area.
Absolutely.
And grow roots so that when you faced other things that would come up, like when we got married, we got married in 99, and had the first couple years of marriage was just normal couple years. But then after you got pregnant with our daughter, and the doctor comes in and says, your daughter's probably not going to live, and she's going to have all these special needs, that's what the doctor told us. That was the tornado, you know, the class 5, F5, whatever, tornado that came through and really shook you, shook us.
Yeah.
And it was the roots that helped us stay alive and our faith stay alive, our marriage stay alive.
Right.
And it's just really interesting to see how you developed over time. And Mark John, I don't know if y'all met Mark John, but he's this genius botanist in our church that knows everything about everything, but mainly about agriculture. And he just came up to me. He always comes up after the sermon and gives me these great sermon things Thursday. But anyway, earlier, that there's three ways a tree grows. One is if you put a seed in the ground. One is if you graft something in. And the third way is if you cut a limb off and just put it in the ground, it can grow into a tree. But he says that third type of tree doesn't grow a tap root. It just grows basic roots, and it doesn't have the strong root. So that type of tree will be destroyed in a high wind or anything like that. He said his idea was if you're not sown into a church, like the seed going into a church, and this, your life is such a great example of this, being sown into good soil and then having these people that looked after you, that made sure you didn't go astray or whatever. And there's a big part of this that's important, and that we're led by God first. God's Holy Spirit led you to repentance. Yeah. God's Spirit led you to salvation, and we cannot find God. He finds us, and He's drawing us. And you would not be in this room today, okay? You don't have to worry about that. He is working in your heart, and so that's why you're here today. But the other half of it is that you chose to go to that 6 a.m. prayer. You chose to invest in these other people. And I want to throw this out to everybody in here today, make this very practical for everybody in here. If you're in this place, if you're early in your walk with God, and you're early in your Christianity, or maybe you're not even a believer at all, I want you to know that this is a safe place for you, that Promised Land is really good soil for you to begin to grow the roots that are going to sustain you when life really becomes difficult. Because it will become difficult in some way, some fashion or another. And so And so right here in this family are the people that are going to help really be root stimulator for you, you know, the fertilizer for you to help you grow strong in your faith. There are the Charlottes, Trevino's in here, the Joyce in here. There's the vehicles in Promised Land to really help you grow. And Pastor Emilio earlier talked about next steps. We offer this every month. And every month we have a few people that show up to it. But it amazes me how many people in our church really want to grow with God, and they have head knowledge of God, but they don't take that next step. And so I'm pleading with you as a father, as a pastor, that this is a great place for you to take your next step. Yeah. And take the courage to step out and do that. And there, let me give you a couple examples. One is my mother leads a prayer group for women. And she does it every Tuesday morning. She doesn't even take a break for the summer, Christmas, anything. My mom is hardcore, okay? So if you're a female in here and you want to grow closer to God, that is an area where you'll find her. You'll find, we call her Miss Flo. Flo McClure is in that group, and several other ladies in here. I saw some of you in here that go to the Tuesday morning group. And dozens, I would say hundreds of women have been mentored and led by that group of ladies. We have a group of men that meet here on Monday nights, and dozens of men have been discipled through these relationships. And so when we have, let me just say this, we have a game night on Friday night for 50 plus. The objective there is to have some fun. But let me tell you the secret objective from Pastor Robin. Here's the secret. This is behind the scenes 11:30 service. The idea is that you're going to sit there and play Uno or 42 or Twister or whatever y'all going to do.
Twister.
Probably not Twister. Please get a video of that if y'all do that. But as y'all are gathering, you will make a connection, an Angie connection, that will transcend that particular meeting, okay? So it's an excuse to get together. And in those relationships, you will begin to cultivate a passion for God, a maturity in God. And
that is...
It's all you, babe. Go.
That is... So I love this whole series. I love the Rooted series. I love nature. My kids roll their eyes because I say it so much. I'm like, I love the outside. It smells so good. And Jude's like, I know, you say that every time we come outside. So anyway, I love this whole series. Because roots and being rooted are such a good visual example of what we need in our lives. Spiritually, it is just a perfect picture. Just like we've been talking about, these, you know, there's a growth process. You don't just walk in and you're a giant tree. It starts out with seeds. My mom taking us to church when I was little, those are seeds along the way on this journey. I knew there was a safe place to be whenever I faced hard times, and the people that came around me, my family, we had extended family that would go to church, and I'd hear about that, and my grandmother was a praying person, and so there were little seeds being planted all along the way. And so, but then when I started to grow and came, and God faithfully rescued me, I started growing spiritually, and in that environment, these resources and people were around me to support me, the older women, the friends, the groups that I was able to participate in. Those were all ways to guard me as a small little sprig trying to grow into a tree. Which you can't, there's no trying to grow, you just do or you don't. And God does that. God does the work. And so I had all those resources, and those are resources that you have here in this community. It's whether you're going to reach out and invest in that community or not. It's not going to just happen to you. And so I'm so thankful for that. And something else in the scripture from earlier, Hebrews 12:15, it says, "Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many." For me, that spoke so much as I was thinking about talking just about my life and growing up. And, you know, there were so many opportunities then and so many opportunities now for there to be a root of bitterness, a root that would have brought corruption or decay or death to this spiritual tree that God was growing in my life. Opportunities with family. My dad not being present in my life often could have been a root of bitterness, but I love my father and I don't have any anger toward him. He isn't close to God, and I love to see him when I do see him, even though it's infrequent. Our struggles between my brother and my mom and I, we've had struggles, but God has been so faithful, and they're coming to my house today to have lunch. We love each other. We love being with each other, and God is just such a faithful redeemer of broken things, things that in the world's eyes would cause distrust, betrayal, anger, roots of bitterness that cause us to divide relationships and walk away from something that is so valuable. God is faithful to restore it. And so it's just, God is so faithful. Amen. He's so good.
One last thing I want to share, and that is for everybody on the other side of the spectrum that are rooted. There's many people promising you are rooted. I hope today will open your eyes that you'll be looking for the Ericas out there, you know, for the people that are brand new, that are hungry for God, that need God, that you have such a valuable role to play for these people. And it's not just my mom or Flo or me or the elders of the church, but there's so many people in here that you have a relationship with God that's strong. And you may not have a degree in it, or you may not feel like you have any sort of clout or anything like that.
You do not need a degree for that.
That's
correct. Just going to say that.
Yeah, because God empowers us. God gives you the words to say. And just be with people. Just share your life with people. Yes. Invite them to eat. Yes. And just hang out. Invite people into the circles and the cycles of life that you currently are just living in.
Yeah.
And I think that in that real life is where we're going to grow.
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Would you pray for us? Would you pray? Mm-hmm. Let's just all stand. We're going to close in prayer right now. And the girl that could only say, "Thank you, Jesus, for this food. Amen." 20 years later is now going to pray in front of the whole church. And it's going to be awesome.
No pressure. God, thank you so much. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your faithfulness in our brokenness, your faithfulness in our doing well. You are constantly there, constantly waiting. Lord, your word says when we draw near to you, you draw near to us, God, and that is true and faithful, and we can cling to that. I just pray for every heart here that's open to your word and to your spirit. I just pray that your spirit would fill them, that they would have a hunger for you, God, that they would have a hunger to know more, to be closer to you, to be closer to each other, to be firmly planted in this community, that they would be supported, God. And I pray that everyone that has been here for years, that has roots, God, that they would see those others and pour into them, God. Be a hedge around them, surround them, and strengthen them. I just thank you for this church, this family. I thank you for the opportunity to come in, to be close to you, and to know you, God. And I just pray that you bless everyone here and that you would be our leading in every moment.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.